All right. Hi, my name is Sarah DeSombre, and I'm with VISDAP, and I'm sitting here today with Joey and Winona Garcia, who are brother and sister, and have been raised with EMS. Joey, would you tell us just a little bit about your family?
My mom was worked in a hospital setting right after I was born. Moved back home, and she started on the ambulance service, volunteer ambulance service. And was an EMT basic for, 25, somewhere around there, 25 years. So when she started, I was maybe 10 years old and she was maybe 3 years old. So pretty much we grew up with pagers and radios and ambulances and training, you name it.
The language.
Thing. 10 codes. I think we talked in 10 codes more than what we did with regular languages.
Winona, if you want to scoot up closer to the mic here, I would love to hear, what is your earliest recollection as a three-year-old with your mother in the field? Do you have any early recollection of her coming home from work or anything that really stood out in your memory as a young child?
Every time my mom came home from a bad call or a bad accident, I just remember her. She'd come in real quiet and she'd always go into my grandparents' room, and they just knew that she had a bad call because they'd always wake up, turn on the light and sit with her and just let her talk through everything. I think my grandparents really supported everything that we did for EMS, and they'd sit up with her for hours on end just to let her talk, to cry things out if she needed to, and just the support that she had for the job that she did. And I remember we could sit on the steps. We heard the phone ring. If it was a call, the dispatcher would call on the phone or on their pagers. I mean, our dispatcher was just one lady, really, mm-hmm. who took care of law enforcement, fire, and EMS all at one time. So we got to know her personally. So when she'd call, we knew, well, mom's up and at it again, you know. We could hear her climb down the stairs, just quiet as can be, calm as can be. And when she'd come in at night, we were like, okay, mom's home, we can sleep better now. And when we'd hear the click of the light go on, I was like, oh, she must have had a bad call. And then you see the lights down stairs, and she'd be sitting with her mom and dad just talking things through, you know, this is what happened. You know, and just the support level, the comfort level that we grew up in, knowing that, you know, something bad happened. You know, this is how she debriefs. And
yeah, you got to remember that this was way before HIPAA regulations and all that good stuff that has come forth in the last couple of years. So.
How did your mom weigh the balance of being a parent and being an EMS professional?
With the help of our grandparents. Yeah. When she was out in training or gone, you know, they were always home, you know, made sure we got up, got ready, go to school. You know, everything went, you know, we came home, the house was never empty, someone was always home. Mm-hmm. Either she was home from work or our grandparents were home. So we never came home to an empty house.
Okay.
Good. So it was pretty good.
Yeah. Was it seeing your mother work in that profession that made both of you want to go into that profession?
I think the calls that she went on, if my grandparents weren't there, we went on the call with her. We sat in the front of the ambulance, you know, trying to be quiet.
Don't touch those buttons, you just sat there seatbelted in and never moved.
We grew up all the way around it, from the ambulance calls to the
training.
TC's calls, the training, the whole bit.
And we played patients for lots of EMT classes.
Yeah.
We got put in every apparatus you can think of. And back then, they were old spine boards. They're not the nice plastic ones now. They were wood. You know, it wasn't the kit. It was a short spine board. They had to teach how to strap. We got bandaged. You name it, we did it. I think we learned everybody's skills better than they did because we were involved in so much of it.
And so, the training, we were, I think, so much that we thought Annie was our sister for a while.
The old-fashioned recording Annie's watching, yep. You know, students. Time after time,
CPR.
You didn't get a perfect strip on your CPR. We're like, we didn't know, well, what's perfect? So So we grew up with all these mannequins, these crazy looking things.
Some people walk down the street with their doll in a stroller, and you walk down the street with your Annie in a stroller. Pretty much. Now, is either of you a parent?
Yes.
He is.
Okay. So what's it like now being on the other side, where you're the parent and you're in this whole EMS world and you have these kids?
Well, not only in the EMS world, like I say, I'm studying to get my EMT basic back. I'm work for the volunteer fire department. I work for law enforcement. I work for corrections. So anything with DPS, I usually do now. My kids, again, are growing up around it. There's a state police officer or a county officer at my house constantly. You know, they stop by all the time. So they know all this stuff. They know that their aunt is on the ambulance. The ambulance is parked at our house every once in a while. You know, fire department or fire trucks are parked there every once in a while. So they know everything. They know everything about DPS. My daughter wants to go into law enforcement. I tell her not to, but again, she's the same way we were, I think, when we were kids. My mom always told us never to do it either, so, but here we are.
Yeah, my niece and nephew are just so, so different night and day. My nephew kind of sort of doesn't want anything to do with it. He wants to go into veterinary school type thing, but it's still in the medical field of some type. My niece is all gung-ho, law enforcement, military.
Yeah.
She's the one that wrestles with our friend who's a state police officer, and he teaches her takedown tactics, and she knows Miranda rights by memory. It's the same style that we grew up in, you know, with the support. If that's what they want to do, and that's what they want to make a career out of it, so be it, but don't do it because we did it, mm-hmm. or we're doing it. Same advice we got when we were growing up.
Yeah, so. Like I say, I started out as an EMT when I left high school, and I turned back and I went to law enforcement after that. I've been in law enforcement for 22 years now. So I'm actually getting back into the EMS now with getting my license back.
So. I did the same thing. I went into EMS straight out of high school. Have been in EMS 17 years. I'm working at our local clinic as a medical assistant, like my mom did, for going on 14 years. So it's been something that it's been comfortable. It's been rewarding. At times it gets stressful, but you know, the support. I can get home from a bad call, and my mom will do the same thing for me. Turn on the light. Come sit down. Let's talk this through. I've been there. I've seen it. I've done it. If I haven't seen it, she used to work, like he said, when she started off in medical, she worked in the surgery. So she was a surgery tech, and she could tell you anything about instruments that came through. So it's like she understands what we went through. And so it's a nice thing. I think we're probably about the only people that have ever been raised through an EMS family type thing. And we keep going. And even his wife is an EMS also, yeah. So it's...
She's here also, but she had a class just now, so...
Well, we're so glad you came by today, and I especially appreciate what you had just said, Winona, about, you know, when raising kids, you're telling the kids... or your nieces and nephews, that you can do it, but do it because you love it. Don't do it because we did it. You know, and I think that's a great message that your parents raised you with and that you're kind of passing on, and it'll be neat to see what happens in the generations to come.
Let's see what happens. And see where we go from here.
Open Airways podcasts are produced by FISDAP with support from EMSresponder.com. All recordings express the opinions and experience of the speaker and do not constitute legal or medical advice. This and other recordings can be found at www.openairways.net.